getting to know you, that is the subject of our discussion today, getting to know you in the virtual world, are you at risk? Our guests are experts. Dr. Mehmet Shayanoglu is an international expert on trustworthy computing. Joel Junker is vice president of a major IT company oriented to the Department of Defense. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Let me ask you right here before school starts about cybersecurity and how it impacts the individual and what individuals can do about it.
We're seeing a rise in the cyberspace. We're seeing a rise in the number of attempts to get information on people. It used to be that the cyber hacking community were focused more on banks, trying to get account numbers. Well, the banks have responded, and now hackers are focusing more on people. And they're using a lot of different techniques to get there, things like spam or phishing attacks, where they try to get information from you, try to get you to log into your bank account or into your sites, and they'll record your login information and then use it against you. But now with the rise of the social media like Facebook and MySpace and things like that, there's a certain area there that they're trying to exploit by getting to know you very personally, but without having to ever meet you.
Joel, you follow hackers professionally. What motivates them?
It basically boils down to money. At the end of the day, the hackers are in it for just a couple of real different reasons. Maybe a long time ago it was because they just wanted to prove a point. But anymore today, it's really about money. If they can get to know you in a way that they can pull information that's key to who you are, that can be used to unlock all of your accounts wherever they might be, then they'll get that from you in a social way, which they can do potentially through the social media like Facebook or MySpace.
Mehmet, I remember some 8 years ago you were warning the listeners to watch the neighborhoods you visit online.
Yes, Carolyn, that was advice to young people that you do not have to click all the links that arrive at your home. I call home because you do not take everybody that comes to your house and invite in and have a coffee with. So this is the same idea. You know, 8-10 years ago, it was kind of local, like the person who was trying to get to your private information was maybe the city nearby or a state in this contiguous United States. But now it's international. You got people from all over the world can attack you in the speed of light. The funny thing is, if it was only in this country, you could catch them, find them, jail them. But they're somewhere sitting overseas, transoceanic, and those guys cannot be caught. Even if they caught them, there's no Interpol. It's like Interpol. So there's no consequence. There's no legal action. Legal people, juristic people, are still debating on this. They have not resolved these issues. I've been to a conference in Korea in 2006. I was invited by the Digital Society of Korea in Seoul. There were many lawyers, attorneys from Holland, Belgium, Germany, European Union, and all over the world who were discussing this. There's no internationally agreed laws, and who's going to catch who? Where are you going to jail them? I mean, people have international tribunes in Den Haag for war criminals, but there's no international tribune for cyber criminals. So this is a very important issue for the law professors. And they have to work together with the computer science people.
And by the same token, the internet is unregulated itself.
Exactly.
Joel, since you follow hackers quite closely and you follow what they do, give us some self-defense tips.
Well, if you're going to use social media, protect your information. You really don't need to give your birthday because it's one of the key things that is used when you're trying to get access to your accounts. If you forgot your password and you call, one of the things they might ask you for is your birthday. Okay, so if you give that over the internet, then anybody else can call for you. Then they can get to know you very personally by taking your account over. If you have money in there, you might lose that. And I know of several cases that that has happened. Another thing of concern is clicking on all the links. There's lots of games, but those are all unregulated games that are in those social networking sites. And we don't know, there is no police on who's developed those games or what's in software that's running those games. And they might be collecting information about you. They might actually be keyloggers in there that are actually logging all of your keystrokes as you type them. You don't necessarily know all that, and there is no guarantees from the social networking sites that that type of software is not there. So be very careful about what links that you click on, because it might bring an attacker directly into your home, and they might stay on your computer for a long time.
And naturally, it's important to keep your spyware up to date, all of those self-defense systems.
All right, yes, spyware, antivirus software, all those types of things are good tools, but they cannot be used in a vacuum. Your education and your awareness of what can be done to you through cyberspace is paramount.
Mehmet, do you have any tips to share?
First of all, I would like to give the young people at high schools or junior high schools the tip that the only time you can justify being paranoid is your cyberspace. You have to be paranoid about your cyberspace belongings. I do not think it's secure or private enough because you don't know what's going on. Also, when you're not careful about your country's cyberspace, then you can become hacked. For example, the country Georgia and one of the Baltic countries, they had severe attacks when the country simply came to a halt. Their computer systems were all destroyed and they couldn't function. You don't want that to happen to the United States or any allied country. And recently it happened in the Middle East. I won't name a country. Which means if you learn how to get your act together in your house and family, the same habits of being careful and paranoid about your cyberspace will transform to national boundaries. And you will be careful about your country's cyberspace because you can lose a war without even going to war.
Joel, last time you were telling us that actually there are countries involved in this. It's a global problem, as Mehmet alluded to.
Well, I think you're seeing and you're going to continue to see, this is not going to stop. We're going to continue to see the emergence of cyber warfare because it is a type of warfare that states can put against other states that still has no legal definition and that has no prosecution associated with that. Just when would a country go to war against another country for a cyber terrorist event? If some country abroad were to get into the United States critical infrastructure systems like power systems or financial systems and destroy part of that, would we really go to war over that? Or would we say, no, that's not something that we would want to kill people for? And I think probably it's the latter, at least at this point in our country. And I think that's a real concern because the cost of cyber terrorism is very low. It's the cost of a computer, access to the network, and somebody who's very bright. That's all it is.
And you've run into them.
And we run into them all the time. They're all over.
Getting back to the listeners' actual usage of computer devices, what about things like online ordering or online day trading? You hear people involved in these things. What are your cautionary notes there?
Pick good places to do that with. I mean, certainly we've been doing online trading for a number of years, and there are reputable businesses that are there.
Anything we should look for online to make sure that it's their site and not someone's copycat site?
That's very much a question. I can't guide you in the best solution other than your prior experience with that company may give you some good indications, although just today I received an email to a location that looks very similar to another location that I'm a member of. And asking for information. And I suspect that it is a phishing attack against me. So be wary of that.
Mehmet?
Well, Kelly, when you ask those very worthwhile questions, I all of a sudden thought about lack of proper cyber education in this country. Because it's a fact there are proportionately less educated students and persons in this country per capita or per million than in East Asia, in Japan, China, Korea. When I went to Korea, I couldn't believe it. South Korea, everybody was so well aware of everything. Even in China, there are tons of schools that have Master of Science or PhD or, well, undergraduate programs on cyber security education, not just certification. It's not just commercial Cisco certifications, but a lot of university educations. Like, this is why any type of remedy should look for educational programs rather than just doing it my way or your way or memorizing things out of some cookbook. when we talk about cybersecurity, it's not just your computer or your bank, it's your health system. The hospitals, for example, the entire healthcare in this country, as the U.S. president mentions many times, we need to upgrade our information technology content and use more smart software to measure risk, not only cyber risk, but also risk of satisfaction in hospitals, ambulatory or non-ambulatory care, as they say.
Do you have any self-defense tips for business people? How do you know if you've been hacked?
Well, we don't always know that you've been hacked, but your best defense is to have highly competent people that are taking care of your backsides, as we should say, in security, because those are the things that are going to keep you out of trouble. And don't forget, there's an awful lot of laws and regulations that you have to comply with, HIPAA being one of them. We have to be really careful with that, and the only way you can do that is to get the good quality people that have a good solid education and are very aware of the cyber situation that we're in today's time, and do an adequate job of protecting you from that.
Any thoughts from either of you, since we are right here before the start of school, about cyberbullying and what to do about it?
I'd like to have a few words of advice, if I may, to the parents. Parents need to watch your children's cyberspace activities. You cannot just be proud of your children. Oh, he's so good in computers. I can't even follow what he's doing. He's the new generation. That's not an excuse. Just like you follow where he goes, what, say, club or hangout place he and his friends go and, you know, have fun, you need to know what kind of fun he's having on the computer. Because these days, if you're not vigilant about your children's activity overall in the computers, that which says to you that you need to be also vigilant. You need to learn enough information technology to be able to follow what your children are doing. Because you cannot just say, well, my son is doing the right thing. Because we hear now and then that children are bullied through the cyberspace. Not only that, it's as close as your neighbor that happened to our neighborhood, that you have someone that is, you know, being either bullied or bullying a young pedophile. So these happen all the time. So that's why if I'm being paranoid, let me be paranoid about it. But including my child, I need to know where he's going and what he's doing so I can help him rather than limit him. So that's the whole idea.
You're saying be proactive rather than reactive.
Exactly, because the damages are very hard to recuperate afterwards.
Joel, let me ask you about thumb drives. These flash drives, are they secure?
Well, they're not necessarily secure. There have been instances in the past where you could actually purchase a thumb drive with known software malware on it that will compromise your system. So the best thing that you can do, make sure that your antivirus software is up to date, and as soon as the thumb drive is plugged into your system, have that antivirus software scan the thumb drive to make sure it removes those potential virus software.
Do you have any concerns about texting?
Well, other than there are not a lot of good security solutions for that particular mobile technology yet that cannot be compromised.
And once again, there is a great source of information on this subject, and it's U.S. CERT.
Yes, U.S. CERT is the location that you can go to get information on all of the various vulnerabilities and situations that are in the cyberspace around the world, particularly in the United States. But they collect it around the world, and they disseminate that information to anybody who wants to get it.
And this is part of the Homeland Security, so it's US-CERT.gov. Thank you both for being here for the purposes of making our listeners aware and educating them more about what getting to know you means in the digital age. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Our guests are Dr. Mehmet Shayanoglu, the author of Trustworthy Computing, and Joel Junker, vice president of a major IT company which is oriented to the Department of Defense. We'll take you back to Troy for the remainder of your news hour. Our program is a public service of Troy University.